under demonic attacks. Family members and children are hitting, kicking, yelling, cursing at their parents and loved ones. Many children of Christian parents have become blatantly disobedient. And the percentage is much higher when you come to non-believers' home. Parents has imposed restrictions and in many cases spanked their children, and it has had little or no effect upon their children. Teachers in school, even in Christian schools, are observing the defiant behavior of students in the classroom. You know, there was a time that sending kids to the principal's office or send them home worked. Nowadays, if it does work, it's for a short period of time. And many of us are at our wit's end. Many of us don't know what to do. In many instances, we go to counseling, we send to counseling, and even that doesn't help. Many children and also family members end up in rehab or psychiatric treatment, should I say. They are sent to counselors, they are diagnosed with some kind of attention disorder or some other kind of sickness or disorder. And after many, many hours of counseling, very little effect is seen. In many instances, they are placed under medication. And there's a lot of people saying that they're not getting any better. Are you with me so far? Read this prayer with me. Prayer declaration over my family. Father, I come into your presence thanking you for every member of my family. I present every one of them before your throne, asking you to draw them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from an early age and cause them to seek you all the days of their lives. Lord, I've brought them before you. Please place a hatred for sin in their hearts. Protect them from evil one. Help them to respect authorities and to be responsible in all their endeavors. Give them an excellent spirit like the one in Daniel. May they always walk in submission to you, O God, and always resist the devil. Lord, protect them from the wrong friends and relationships. Give them discernment to choose their friends, and may they always be the light and not be overtaken by darkness. May they choose godly friends and help them to wait on you for their companion you choose for them before the world's foundation. Keep them and their future spouses from themselves, from making fatal mistakes that will destroy and or disrupt the great plans you have for their lives. Lead my family into healthy friendships and relationships and help them to remain pure until and after marriage. I declare that my family will grow in wisdom and favor before the Lord, and that they will choose as their God. I further declare that no weapon formed against them will prosper, no tongue that rises against them will succeed, whether human or demonic, but they will condemn them. I declare that pestilences of any kind will not come near their dwelling, because you have given your angels charge over them. Finally, I declare, my Lord, that my seed is holy, pure, sanctified, and blameless before you. I affirm that they will walk in your presence all the days of their lives. Furthermore, I proclaim that every curse pronounced, inherited, or picked up along the way is destroyed, voided, and nullified by the power invested in the name and the blood of Jesus. I have a holy seed. In Jesus' name, amen. I will continue today with the topic, God is interested in your children, and God is interested in your family. I should have had an amen here.
Amen.
Beloved, many of the disturbances we have in our families today, in part, comes from our own doing. Somebody recently called my office saying that they have a disrupted child. And the sentence was, this child used to be such a sweet child. And then somehow, somewhere, something went wrong. And now it's like I have a little demon in my house. After going through hours and hours of counseling, medication was prescribed. And this child gets better. But once the medication wears off, this child becomes a little devil again. If any one of us today is in this situation, let's address this thought for a little while. I would recommend that we should make a thorough search and examination of our hearts and thoughts. And here are some things I want you to think about. Are we quick with our tongue? Do we yell and scream when we get angry? You may ask, who doesn't? We don't have to do like everybody else. Do we become impatient with the many questions that our children and spouses may ask? Are we workaholic who cannot make enough time to nurture, care, love, and to spend time with our loved ones? Do we have a common holy habit of being in church, all services, and taking our children with us? Do our children watch television unsupervised for many hours at a time? Is pornography allowed in our home? You've got the idea, right? What we allow in our home and in our heart is heaven and will have a tremendous effect upon our families. And in many cases, children and loved ones who were in these situations are experiencing the effect learned. The effects of learned behavioral patterns during childhood. And I tell you that in many cases, evil spirits play a big role in our loved ones' behavior. And I think that one of the things we can do in order to reverse this pattern, there has to be a great change in our lives. And it all begins with us, moms and dads. There must be a repentance from the heart, followed by forsaking the past and allowing God to change and to heal our families. Because God is interested in our families. God is the author of the family. And in many cases, families are being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of the things of God. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
So what you're saying, preacher? Let's start changing the way we do things in our lives. If our children and our loved ones can't see godly reactions, positive speaking in the house, we can't expect anything else than the negative stuff that is out there. In the book of Hosea, Brother Harry, I didn't give you that, but I think I have to put this thing here. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. We find this interesting statement. Would you care to read it with me when it comes up there? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Read it with me. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Listen, I am not putting blame on parents here. Say amen.
Amen.
I am not accusing you, knucklehead child, of making bad choices. I'm not accusing you for your knucklehead child making bad choices. I'm just saying that God says that His people is being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And many times we are so busy working, so busy running around, so busy saving money to when we get to retirement and we are sick, we have money to pay for the doctors, that we forget to enjoy our families. We forget to enjoy our children. We forget to enjoy our spouses. And because we've been working so hard, and we come and our spouses and our children needs our attention, some of us will get irritated with it. We get irritated with each other. We are yelling and cursing at each other. And we can't come to church because we are too tired. Well, the Bible is saying here, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Which knowledge? The knowledge of God. Well, he's not talking about knowledge of God. Well, then you have to have a mental slowness this morning not to understand this. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests of me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God,
amen.
I will. I hope that you're getting what God is trying to say here this morning.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Parents, it's time for us to turn the table on the devil.
Yes.
If we don't have the word of God, our children won't have either. Hollywood wants to give you our children God. If we are having pornographic movies in the house, violent movies, and the children are watching all that garbage, they will forget the little that they know, the little knowledge about the laws of God. Now, it's kind of scary. God says, because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. Have you ever thought about that? So, whoa, what you're saying here? I'm not, God is saying, You better get your act together. Folks, God cares about our children. God cares about our loved ones. Well, my children are grown. What do? Your children may reject your words. They may reject your love. But they can't do nothing about your prayers. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Well, my child is in a relationship that is really giving me a hard time. So pray for God to cause them to get sick of each other. Will God do that? Try it. You may be surprised. What do you mean? What I'm saying here today, folks, if we walk away from the law of God, if we don't have time for God, because we are too busy doing everything else, our children will notice that. Don't expect them to love God and come to church and not to get in trouble out there when they didn't see that in mommy and dad. They don't have a dad. But they have a mother, don't they? So you put in all the responsibility on me. You're the one who had the children, not me. Man, it's harsh. It's not harsh. We've got to break away with the pattern. The devil is taking advantage of families in church. And there is an alarming assault to our families. Because many of us are too busy and we have forgotten the law of God. Just like a brother called in and said, well, preacher, I know there's some scripture in the Bible that say that if you believe, God's going to save your children. I said, really? Yeah, what is it? I don't know, but I know there's some scripture in the Bible that say that. I said, can I give you a suggestion, brother? I said, yes. Do you have a computer? Yes. Go to Amazon.com. Go to books. And search for Strong's Concordance. What is that? It's a concordance. What is a concordance? It's a big, big, thick book of the Bible. Buy a used one. It costs like $5. Why do I need that? So whenever you know about the scriptures, talk something about your children, do you go to look the word something? Then all the verses that say something will come up, and you choose which one. I mean, preacher, I don't know what it said, but I know it says something about saving the children. Then you look at the word children, and then all the verses on children is there, so you can find the scripture, start quoting the scripture. You don't know the scripture, and you expect your children to know the scripture when you as a parent don't know the scripture. What is wrong with this picture? The devil is taking advantage of this. Many of us will always have a negative word towards our children or loved ones. Uh-oh, that's not godly. That's not what God expects, and the devil is taking advantage of this. So speak positive words into their lives. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with their bad choices or their nonsense talk. But we want to speak life and power into their lives. We want to speak destiny into our children's life. And for that reason, we're going to speak words, God's words, positive words upon their lives. Brother Harry, may I please have Proverbs 18:21. Give me the backslider translation first. Proverbs 18:21. Will you care to read it with me? Words and life. Let's not give the devil a reason to kill our children's faith. Let's speak positive words. Let us not give the devil a reason to kill our spouse's faith. Let's speak positive word. You know, when we first got married, I told Sister Marcia, if we can't wait until after the honeymoon to fight, and that's supposed to be 50 years down the road, let us never, if we have to fight, let us never fight in front of the children. We have kept that promise so far, almost 36 years later. Honeymoon is not over yet, so we gotta wait another 14 years before they can start fighting. Are you with me here? The words that we speak carries weight. The words that we speak to our spouses and our children can leave wounds that may take a lifetime to heal. And the devil can take advantage of it and destroy our families. This is not God's desire, because the family was God's idea. And therefore, we should speak choicey words, like the word of God. Because words kill, and the words also give life. Again, we don't have to agree with the nonsense that they are doing. You may even pick on me now. Well, you just finished calling our knucklehead children. You're the one calling. I didn't call my children knucklehead. I said, if you have a knucklehead children, I'm not saying that they are. But words can kill and can destroy our children. Amen. Our spouses. And our relationship. And that may alienate God from being part of our family's lives. Do I have an amen here?
Amen.
Let me start this morning by saying, number one, that God wants to bless our seed. Say amen.
Amen.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 3, we find some very interesting word. Isaiah 44, 3, we read these words. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit. I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, you children will be blessed with the Spirit of God.
Your
loved ones will be blessed with the Spirit of God. And God is willing to bless your offspring. In Jesus' name. God is interested in blessing our offspring. God is interested in blessing our offspring. This is the kind of word, folks, that we're supposed to be talking over the life of our children, over the life of our loved ones. A year and a half ago, I was in another country. And this beloved brother is trying to practice this. His wife had a stroke. They went to church. Her husband is somewhere in the back. When he comes up front, we are talking. He passes by and says, hey, beautiful. She said, hi, hon. What's the problem? Well, she had had a stroke and her mouth was twisted. So she was talking through the corner of her mouth. So she went to sit down by his side. There's one of the church leaders standing. Did you hear that? This guy is nuts. I said, why? Do you think she's beautiful? I said, it's not for me to find her beautiful. Is it for him to find her beautiful? It's his wife, not mine. Do you know by this man speaking this into his wife's life, her lips is going back to normal, and now she's talking normally. God wants to bless our families. God wants to bless our offspring. So be careful. Don't let the devil get a foothold in our lives. In the book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 13, we read the following statement. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. Turning back and telling the neighbor behind you, God will bless your household. God has blessed your household. And why would he do that? Because God wants us and our children to be happy. Let me stop a little bit yet with children. Psalms 128, verse 3. Says that our children are blessed, or will be blessed, by the Lord. Read it with me. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around the table. This is a family blessed here. Well, I don't have a wife. Hold tight. Make sure that you don't get ahead of yourself. And this is why on the prayer I say, Lord, protect them from themselves. Protect their spouses from themselves. So they don't do some stupid mistake that will jeopardize whatever you have already planned for their lives before the foundation of the world. If you don't have a spouse yet and you think you need to get married to be happy, please don't get married. Please don't get married. What kind of preaching is this? The Bible never said that Adam became happy when Eve was brought to him, did it? So why do I have a wife then? So that you can be in peace with God and not tempted by the devil. But the scripture says that your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Is that right? And that your children like olive plants. Did you know that olive trees are one of the nastiest trees on the planet? We were in Israel, and the fruits kept plunging from the trees, and you walk and you see spots of olive trees all over the place. You know that? Olives all over the place. When they start giving fruit, Lord have mercy. You better have people picking it up because the place can be a mess. And in Israel, olive is the national tree of Israel, if you will. So there are olive trees all over the place. And wherever you go, there's olive trees all over. You know, I don't think the city in Jerusalem, I don't think that they can keep up with it. They're fruitful and they produce bountifully. In other words, our wives will be a blessing in the house. Our children shall be a blessing for all of us. They don't have to be a curse. Amen. They don't have to be an instrument in the hands of the devil. Amen. They don't have to go into psychic medicine. Say with me, I reverse.
I reverse.
Any disorder,
on
my children's life. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus.
I reverse.
Schizophrenia.
ADD.
And any garbage in between.
I rebuke.
The bipolar demon.
In Jesus' name.
Because my children are like olive plants, very fruitful and very healthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the Bible says in Job 21:11 that our children will be happy. Read it with me. They send forth their little ones like a flock. Bible-believing people have no reason to have children heads down. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy is contagious. What do you mean? I'll give you this. Have you ever been in a place, everybody's minding their own business, and then somebody starts laughing? And laughing uncontrollably. Then all of a sudden somebody else is going to start laughing too. And then somebody says, why are they laughing? I don't know. And then they start laughing. Why are they laughing? I don't know. And then all of a sudden the whole room is laughing. Have you seen that before?
Yes.
I did this experiment before. It is amazing. I don't want to start this year now because it's going to mess up my sermon. But I could tell you a joke right now. Some of you will start laughing and it will spread like fire. When the joy of the Lord is our strength, when we are joyous, it will spread, it will contaminate in the life of our children. Children are supposed to be heads down. They're supposed to be dancing in happiness and in joy within our walls. To reinforce that thought, God wants to teach our children. Did you know that?
Yes.
Now, how can God teach our children when we ourselves don't have God, have forsaken the law of God? Isaiah 54:13 says the following. Read it with me. All your children and God wants to teach our children. We need to introduce them to God and make sure that we don't forsake, that we don't forget the laws of the Lord, so that the kids can pick up whatever we left and God will continue to teach them. You know, a lot of people have heard and read in the scripture about the firstborn. The firstborn child in Israel is supposed to take 90% of whatever their parents had. So hypothetically speaking, I had a fortune of $10 million. Thank you, sister. I say amen to that. And then, I am living on the days of old. According to the book, after I pass away, Ted's supposed to inherit $9 million. And then he takes the responsibility to care for his mother better than I did. What? Yes. It's his mother. So once I am out of the picture, my fortune would go to him. He would get $9 million. What about the other three kids? The $1 million left is going to be split between the three of them. That's not fair. Well, tell God. I didn't establish that. So you mean that you would get $9 million and the other three get $330,000? Yes. That's how it used to be on the days of old. Wow. I didn't get a choice to choose to be the firstborn. Wait a minute. In order to receive this, Ted has the obligation to perpetuate my faith. Are you following me so far?
Yes.
So, again, hypothetically speaking, it doesn't fully apply to this case, unless God had chosen this to be from the beginning of the world. Let's say now I am the pastor of BCFC. The Lord is doing through us a good work. Right? Now let's say that I die. In the days of old, Ted's supposed to take over the church. He's supposed not to go to the left or to the right. The vision that I have is supposed to carry on. This is why he's getting 90% of what I have. Are you following me here?
Yes.
So what about the other three kids? They're supposed to be serving the Lord, but they don't necessarily have to carry on my vision. What about the daughter? She will get also a piece of the pie, but she's not bound because once she marries, she's going to carry on the vision of her husband. Are we together so far here?
Yes.
So what you're saying? When we present God to our children and they learn to walk in faith like we do, and they are what you call a replica of what we're doing for God, they take the big portion because they're supposed to perpetuate. And the resources is going to be available for them to continue to do what the Father's doing. And this is why the firstborn had that privilege. You see with me so far? When it comes to the spiritual things, we're supposed to introduce our children to God so that they can perpetuate our beliefs. Their children then will pick up on that and God will teach them. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
This is why he says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So how does this whole thing tie up, preacher? God wants to teach our children. So perhaps we should cut off the TV time in the house. Thank you, sister. There's one soul here that said amen. When God teaches our children the blessings that are ours, we will pass on into our children. Psalms 127, 3, 4 and 5 tells us this. Read it with me. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4. Like an arrow in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And verse 5. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies. God wants us to recognize that the children that he has given to us is a blessing, not a burden. It's a blessing that will never depart from you. If you are 100 years old, that blessing will be there at 8 years old after you. This is an eternal blessing. Let's handle them as a blessing. I told you before, I was driving Hampden, and there was a bumper sticker that says, get even with your children. Live long to anoint them. So my Lord, good grief. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that our children are supposed to be like a crown to us. Read it with me. Children's children, and the glory of children. So what he's doing here, he is including the father, the children, and grandchildren. It's an inclusive blessing. What that means? It means that God is interested in blessing our families. Amen. God wants to be part of their lives. Yes. And by the way, parents, your children have to learn to walk before God, even in choosing their spouses.
Yes.
What you think may be good for them may not necessarily be what God has for them. Say amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 20, verse 7 tells us that our blessings will pass on into our children. Read it with me. The righteous man walks in his integrity. When you and I are walking God's presence and doing what we're supposed to do, serving God as we're supposed to serve, that blessing goes over. So what you're saying? If Ted, Benny, Jamil and Hudson are walking in integrity before God, they will have the same blessings that I have and even more. If your children are walking after God as you are, they will have the same blessings, if not more. Because it says here, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Meaning that once you pass away, your children will pick up on the blessings. Why? The blessings continue to flow from the throne of God. Sin will deviate the blessings and cause it to go elsewhere. Am I getting through here? Okay, preacher, you make your point. So what is the conclusion of this? Why are you such in a hurry? I mean, you got a whole day yet. In 2 Chronicles, verse 34, chapter 34, verse 1 and 3, we read something very interesting. Second Chronicles 34, 1, 2, and 3. Would you care to read it with me? Josias was when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 3. Note this. This man started reigning when he was 8 years old. And he already knew the God of his father. You with me, right?
Yes.
And then it says that on the 8th year of his reign, so 8 plus 8,
16.
We're talking about a 16 years old kid. What did he do? He began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. 16 plus 4. This dude was 20 years old. And he was cleaning up the country from all the junk. What you're saying, preacher? That misconception of, I got a teenager. All the hormones are crazy. You know how that goes. No. God is able to preserve our children. If we teach our children the way of God when they are still young, they will respond to it. The fact that you're 16 or 20 is not a free pass to go cuckoo. Abandon the house of God and do crazy stuff. If you do, you're going to regret. God has the power to reach out to our young kids. Say a quick prayer with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
draw my children
to Jesus Christ
from an early age
and cause them
to seek Jesus
all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we hate sin, our children will pick up on that. Did you know that? Brother Harry, can you put up there Psalms 97:10? I wish that you would read it with me. You who love the Lord, He preserves the soul. Are you with me here? This is not being asked from the unbelievers. It's being asked for people who love God. Hate sin. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Somebody may say, well, what you may consider sin may not necessarily be sin for me. Well, I don't consider anything sin. I go to the Bible. If the Bible says it's sin, then it's sin. And I know that some sin are delicious. But once it is gone, it's bitter like death. When we hate sin, our children will also hate sin.
Amen.
Pray with me, Father God.
Teach me to hate sin.
And teach my children to hate sin.
More than I do.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. I could go on, but I see that the clock is going too fast to my taste. I don't know, I guess when we have fun, time goes quick. I want you to repeat some declarations with me. I will give you four declarations, and then I'm going to wrap up with that prayer that I give you. Brother Harry, can you please look for me for Numbers 4:19? Once we read that scripture, I have a declaration that I want you to declare over the life of your family. Did you hear with me?
Yes.
Numbers 4:19, read it with me. But do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die, when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task. You say, what? What kind of scripture is this? Would you read it with me? Or would you say after me? Father God, I thank you that my family will not be cut off from your presence. In Jesus' name. May I have Brother Harry, Joshua 15:20. Joshua 15:20. And I want you to read it with me. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. What? Stay with me. Say it with me. Father God,
I declare
that my family will share the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. In Jesus' name. I'll let you look for the rest and you will understand what I'm doing here. Brother Harry, can you put up their Numbers 4:19. Read it with me. Didn't we just do that?
Yes.
Oh boy. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 7:5. 1 Chronicles 7:5. Now, their brethren among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor, listed by their genealogies, 87,000, all of them. Say with me, Father God,
I declare
that my family is like the families of Issachar.
They are full of mighty.
They are men and women of valor.
And the devil will not change this.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Final declaration for this morning. Brother Harry, may I please have 1 Chronicles 4:38. And then we're going to pray that prayer together again. Read it with me. These mentioned by name were leaders in their families, and their family house. Say with me, Father God,
I thank you
in the name of Jesus
for the fact
that you will greatly increase
my whole household,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your families will increase. Your families will increase.
Your family will increase.
Pick up your declaration prayer page. Stand on your feet. And I want you to read it with me in unison. Is that how you say it?
Unison.
Prayer declaration over my family. Father, I come into your presence thanking you for every member of my family. I present every one of them before your throne, asking from an early age and cause them to seek you all the days of their lives. I've brought them before you. Please place a hatred for sin in their hearts. Protect them from the evil one. Help them to respect authorities and to be responsible in all their endeavors. Give them an excellent spirit like the one in Daniel. May they always walk in submission to you, O God, and always resist the devil. Lord, protect them from the wrong friends and relationships. Give them discernment to choose their friends. And may they always be the light and not be overtaken by darkness. May they choose godly friends and help them to wait on you for their companion you choose for them before the world's foundation. Keep them and their future spouses from themselves, from making fatal mistakes that will destroy and or disrupt the great plans you have for their lives. Lead my family into healthy friendships and relationships and help them to remain pure until and after marriage. I declare that my family will grow in wisdom and favor before the Lord, and that they will choose my God as their God. I further declare that no weapon formed against them will prosper, no tongue that rises against them will succeed, whether human or demonic, but they will condemn them. I declare that pestilence of every kind will not come near their dwelling, because you have given your angels charge over them. Finally, I declare, my Lord, that my seed is holy, pure, sanctified, and blameless before you. I affirm that they will walk in your presence all the days of their lives. Furthermore, I proclaim that every curse pronounced, inherited, or picked up along the way is destroyed, voided, and nullified by the power invested in the name and the blood of Jesus. I have a holy, blessed, and prosperous family in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have a little change today. We have people in leadership in church. And from this point forth, you're going to see a little change taking place in our services. Brother Art is coming up here. He's already up there. And we're going to now alternate. A week, the leaders, men leaders, will serve the Lord's Supper. Another week, the ladies leaders will serve the Lord's Supper. Amen?
I declare that we're going to take up an offering now.